Okay. Let's have a Bible study. Open your Bibles up to 1 John chapter 3 verse 17. One John chapter 3 verse 17. Whoso has this world's good and see his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, we've been talking about these covenants, and we talked a good deal about Hesed, the covenant Hesed. That's the love of God. That's that operating these covenants in love. Now, the reciprocal of agape, mercy, Hesed. One thing you got to watch out for is strife. Strife turns inward instead of giving. It shuts up the bowels of compassion. See, there's one of the best analogies I've ever come across is, you know, see, God wants to bless you. He wants to have the rivers of blessings flowing into you. But if those rivers don't flow out, they're going to dry up. Here's the thing. You look at the Dead Sea, and there's rivers flowing into the Dead Sea. And there's one little tiny trickle that goes out, but it doesn't go anywhere. In the Dead Sea, they call it the Dead Sea for a reason. There's nothing really growing in there. Some microorganisms maybe, but nothing. The water's useless. The Dead Sea is just useless. There's salt. But there's fresh water flowing in there. But you look at the Sea of Galilee, and the rivers flow into the Sea of Galilee and flow out. And that place is teeming with life. People make a living catching fish out of that sea. How cool is it? See, God can keep it going out of you. He'll keep it flowing into you. What happens a lot of times is people want to clam up. And they don't want to open up their bowels of compassion. What they've got to understand. God can get it to you. He will get it to you. You just got to get it out of you. And there's a lot of places. I've spent a lot of time on different avenues you can give. And there's all kinds of people that you can give to. There's widows, there's orphans, there's poor people, there's strangers. There's all kinds of places to give. And, I mean, one thing I figured out a long time ago was I could give to my pastor. And that was pretty cool. I could give to my pastor's wife. And that was pretty cool. You know, there's lots of ways that you can get that blessing kicked into overdrive. And sometimes it just makes people mad when you talk to them about giving. But it's a vital thing. It's just, that's part of the covenant. See, God blesses you so you can be a blessing. But if you shut up your bowels of compassion, then you're walking straight into strife, and that's a dangerous place. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. And what we're doing is trying to develop a covenant conscience. a covenant consciousness, being aware and conscious that you have a covenant with God and that Jesus is your covenant head, and you qualify for the covenant blessings because of him. Matthew chapter 9 verse 13 says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." See, there was a lot of really, really religious people that did a lot of sacrifices. They tithed, they fasted, they did all kinds of things. And Jesus was telling them, "I'd rather see you operate in mercy." They didn't have much mercy for a lot of people. You know, when they took that woman that was caught in adultery, instead of trying to restore her, they, you know, there was two, they caught two people. There was another party involved in that. You know, he was caught in adultery too. But somehow they split the pair. They had two tiers of justice. They had one set of rules for her and one set of rules for him. He must have been somebody that gave something to him or something. So they treated him differently. God won't have that. He wants us to operate in mercy and compassion. See, the thing about compassion, that's what a mother and father will do to answer a child's need. See, this is something that's expected in the covenant. Have that compassion. It's a desire to give as natural. See, it's when you get born again, you get brought out of this old materialistic dog-eat-dog world, and you get brought into the kingdom of God, and he wants you to operate in love and mercy, but he also wants you to operate in compassion. You know, how many times have we been to the gas station out of town, and we'll see somebody with a little cardboard sign saying, "Can you spare 20 bucks? How many times do we look away and step on the gas pedal and try to hurry up and get where we're going and not look at that guy? Or you could be the guy that's pulling up there and reaching and grabbing for 20, 30 bucks. You know, you can ask God. You know, God, he can answer you on the fly. Did you know that? You can see that guy, and there could be two or three cars ahead of you. And you can see that guy standing there, and you can ask him, say, "How much you want to give?" And then dig it out and give it to him. You know, one thing, when you're serious about this, when you're really serious about this and you leave town, and you're going somewhere, you're going to have cash in your pocket. Because there's always going to be somebody. You know, the Bible says there's always going to be poor among you. It doesn't really say anything about judging them, but it does talk about giving to them. A covenant brings this chesed relationship by an act of the will and the swearing of an oath. This chesed is brought into our relationship by an act of our will, both naturally and supernaturally, by God being our Father and by that covenant. You know, the Bible tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We were completely not capable of operating in this kind of love, this agape chesed, until we got born again. It was not possible. Now, once we get that love of God set abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that's, he does that. That's his operation. That's his ministry. That's what he does. And you go to church, and the fastest way to get that clammed up is to focus on yourself. And sometimes preachers will get you to focus on yourself unintentionally. But they're trying to get you to be better. They're just going at it the wrong way. You know, they're trying to use a Ford key in a Chevy pickup. They're trying to use the law on a Christian, trying to get them to perform better. Now, tell a Christian, said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. And we go out and we try to do that as hard as we can, and we fail. If we have an honest bone in our body, we will fail. Why would we say we fail? Because that's the law. Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, Jesus said that. You know, Jesus had to preach the law. He was talking to religious people there. He was talking to Pharisees and scribes. And he said that before the cross. You see, the cross made all the difference. And the cross changed everything. What was said on one side of the cross isn't necessarily for Christians today. On the other side of the cross, it tells us to believe the love that God has for you. And once you do that, once you focus on that, then that agape has said that love of God is a whole lot easier to flow through you. Let's look at Acts chapter 13. I want to look at that real quick. Acts chapter 13, verse 32. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. He's talking about that agape chesed. It's because of what Jesus did. And he can pour his love out on us. Once we, you know, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son to die on that cross for us. But make no mistake about this. When you get born again, you get a river of love flowing through you. You know, perfect love casts out fear. When we focus on the love of God, how much he loves us, really cool things happen for us. You know, one account I read one time was this pastor. He was in a meeting, and this guy called him and said, I want you to meet me at this bridge in this park on a certain day. So the pastor said, okay. And so he went there, and the pastor stood around on that bridge for a while, and the guy didn't show up. So he took off. Sometime later, that guy came in, and he was born again at that time. And he come up to that pastor, and he said, I told you to meet me at that bridge in that park on that certain day. And the pastor said, I know, I went there, and you weren't there. And he said, I was there. I was going to kill you. But he said, I don't know who those people were that were with you, but I wasn't messing with those at all. What happened was that pastor had immersed himself in the love of God so much that them angels were right there to protect him all the time. See, the love of God will take you a lot of places. You're still going to have to mix that with faith. See, love's not going to just carry it all the way through. You're going to have to use some faith in the Word of God, operate in this covenant. The book of 1 John is really the agape book. It's the love of book. It's the love book. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 is the answer to Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's cool. Perfect love casts out that torment. I want to read something for you here. We're going to start at verse 12. God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Did you see that, verse 16? We have believed the love that God has for us. If we would spend as much time focusing on how much God loves us as we do on anything else, just imagine how life would be. We focus on the love that God has for us. And then it's not about our efforts. It's not about us no more. It's about him. See how we got to turn the tables on life. We got to turn the tables on the law. You know, there's a lot of times we get confronted with the law. But we have to be able to turn the tables on that. Have an answer for that. You know, somebody will say, well, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your body. You say, no, I believe the love that God has for me, that way I'm able to do that. But I'm going to believe the love that God has for me. I'm going to make it about him and not about me. Because I promise you, we'll fail. I've already been down that rotten trail, trying as hard as I could to love God. And the devil will remind you of every single little mistake that you ever make, and he'll hound you with it, and he'll keep hounding you with it until you get back over on the other side of the cross, on the grace side of the cross, and then you have him in the arena of faith, and he's toast. Now, the thing about this covenant that happened when we got born again, we now have the freedom from fear. We have a fail-safe life. Fail-safe, always protected, even in the event of failure or breakdown. Think about that. We have his protection. Sometimes, have you ever noticed you'd be going along and you weave when you should have wobbled, but things still work out. And you sit there and say, wow, how lucky was that? It wasn't luck. You have this covenant. When you get mindful of the covenant and you get conscious of this covenant, you start seeing how God did great things in your life. And then pretty soon you'll start seeing all these little things that he's doing in your life. And then pretty soon you'll just be consumed with gratitude. Things that we called luck or maybe even talent, we'll start looking at it and saying, that's grace. That's mercy. We sometimes try as hard as we can in our own efforts when we really need to let go and let God and believe that he will handle the situation. Not just can. See, this is the thing. A lot of people believe God can do miracles, but they don't believe that he will. See, the leper came up to Jesus and said, I believe you can heal me. And Jesus said, I will. See, we believe that he will. That will take us a lot farther. We can struggle with this for a long time, knowing that God can do miracles, but not believing that he will. See, this is one reason we have to understand this covenant and understand we've been totally washed in the blood of Jesus, and there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I believe God will do this in my life. See, we got to take it from can to will. If we're going to receive it, we got to take it from can to will to already has. See, he's already given us all things with Christ Jesus. We just have to find a way to believe it in our hearts so that we can receive it. Jesus gave us a really good key to this. When he got to the tomb of Lazarus, he said something peculiar. He said, thank you, Father, for hearing my prayers. And I thank you that you always hear me. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forward. Was Jesus telling us to be thankful? When somebody gives you something, do you ask him for it? See, if somebody came up and gave you $100, said, here, this is yours, would you ask him for it? Then, here, it's yours. Would you ask him for it again? He said, no, here, it's yours. I gave it to you. Would you ask him again? But that's what people do all the time with God. He said, here I freely give you all things with Christ Jesus. Oh, please, Father, give me a new job. Oh, please, Father, help me meet my bills at the end of the month. When we should be saying, thank you, Father. You supply all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Please heal me, Father. I did 2,000 years ago when Jesus took stripes on his back. When we should say, thank you, Father, that by his stripes I was healed. See, if we'd spend more time thanking God for what he's given us, we'd spend more time receiving what he wants us to have. But we get it in reverse. We ask him for what we already got. You see? We get things mixed up. We're supposed to thank Him. If He's already given it to you, why are you asking for it? Start thanking Him and receive it. We've been made free from fear. But it's, what are we going to meditate on? That's what's going to build in our hearts. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's look at that, because that's the blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth you. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sworn to thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. You know, you are free of people harming you. You can get in this covenant and you can meditate on these promises, and God will protect you from people. He will certainly protect you from Satan. He will protect you from the curse, from worry, from cares. He will cause you to walk in the light. Remember, 1 John 1:7 says, if you walk in the light, as we are in the light, then the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. You know, there's several things that you can say. You can meditate on these verses. Say, the Lord causes my enemies that rise up against me to be defeated before my face. They come out against me one way and flee before me seven ways. See, these are things that we can meditate on. These are things that we can say. And these are things that will cause protection to come your way. You know, when you put the Word of God out into the atmosphere, it gives them angels a charge. It gives them a job. They need to get out there and get busy, make sure God's Word is performed on your behalf. Isaiah chapter 54, you don't have to go there, but it talks about being free from oppression and terrorism. You know, in the Great Commission, tells us that we shall take up serpents, and they shall not harm us. And that does not mean that you go pick up a snake and play with him. That's not at all what that's talking about. When they took up a serpent back in them days, I mean, the snake bit them. See, he gives you snake insurance. Being in West Texas, it's not a bad idea to have a little bit of snake insurance. You know, I did an oil field and I threw a box open and I reached in to grab a valve and I remembered I needed a gauge. So I turned back around out of the corner of my eye. I seen something move going down. And I looked back in the corner of the box, a rattlesnake. He was coming up to bite me on the hand when I reached my hand in there. But I said those prayers, Psalms 91 and stuff like this all the time. And I think that snake didn't have any choice but not bite me. And God got me back out of the way to get that gauge. He protects us. See, we need to have a covenant conscience. And we need to be aware that he's doing things in our lives and look for it. Watch how he watches over us. Then we'll be even more encouraged to run to him for protection. Run to him for guidance. Count on his protection. Count on his loving kindness, his mercy, his agape, his chesed. Be aware. Become agape, chesed, mercy minded. Be mindful of his mercy coming your way. Be love minded. That way, those things will flow through you to other people. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every single day. Father, we thank you for this special celebration that we come together and give thanks for the wonderful blessings that you bestowed upon us in this country. Father, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for saving this country. In Jesus' name, amen.